is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here on the program today. Megan Graham, new Executive Director at Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you took over on Tuesday. You picked quite a week to take over, didn't you?
This is certainly not what I had in mind when I took this position, but it's been crazy, and it's been really good.
What's it been like in the past few days? I mean, this is only day four for you.
Sure. Thankfully, I have some experience in disaster response, so this has not been totally unprecedented for me personally. I know it has been for our staff at the shelter, but they've really rallied, and they've come together to create new protocols. And make sure that all of our new guests are comfortable. And they've also been comforting folks as they bring in their pets, because everyone's been through a very traumatic experience. So it's been heartwarming to see everyone coming together. It's been a little chaotic, and it's just been a really interesting first week.
So talk about your professional background. I know when the release came out announcing that you were taking the position, looks like you've been doing this kind of thing for a long time.
Yeah, I've been in animal welfare for about 12 years now. I'm a certified animal welfare administrator, which is the highest level of professional certification within the industry. It just basically means I know how to run an animal shelter. In the past, I've run a spay-neuter clinic in Central Oregon. I was the director of the Bend Spay-Neuter Project for about 8 years. And after that, I worked for an international spay-neuter organization called Animal Balance. And we traveled around the world setting up MASH-style spay-neuter clinics, just like the show. So we worked in all kinds of different environments under all kinds of different conditions, which has been super helpful for me this week in putting together evacuation plans for the shelter should we need to put that into place.
It's interesting. The clinic you talked about almost sounds like our drive-through testing clinic that the health department is doing right now. How did you get into all of this area to begin with? I mean, was there a point in high school or somewhere where you knew this is kind of what you wanted to do?
You know, I've always loved animals. I knew I could never be a veterinarian, so I never quite could figure out what that path would look like. I actually eventually just started volunteering, which I think is how a lot of folks in this industry get into this work. I volunteered at the Bend Spay Neuter Project back in 2008, cleaning the cat kennels on Saturdays, and that just kind of spun wildly out of control, and obviously I am here sitting with you today. So
wow.
Yeah.
So how did you end up seeking the position at Saving Grace?
I was down living in Tahoe, actually, and my boyfriend grew up here in Roseburg, and his family is here. And when I saw the position, you know, I wasn't super happy in my position in Tahoe, and it just wasn't our place. So Roseburg was really where we ultimately wanted to be, and I couldn't believe the timing with Wendy leaving. It was just perfect for us and perfect for me to try and get that position. So it was great when it all worked out.
Interesting, because you just took my next question about whether you had a connection to Roseburg before.
Yeah, I've been coming here for the last 5 years. So I was in Bend for about 20 years. I grew up in Indiana. I was in Bend for about 20 years. We had a short stint in Tahoe, and here we are now in Roseburg.
So what did you know about Saving Grace before you heard about the position?
You know, I'd heard various things from my boyfriend's family in the couple years that we've been coming over here, usually on the holidays. And I know that they've done an incredible job turning the shelter around from being a kind of low-performing shelter to now a very high-performing shelter. And so I was very excited to join the team. The operations team there is just fantastic, and they're doing such great work. I really am excited about being able to take it to the next level and really start focusing more on helping pets stay in their homes as opposed to, you know, being more proactive as opposed to being reactive. So we're really excited to get to work doing that once we've dealt with the wildfires.
You know, it's interesting, over the years, the shelter really, while Wendy's been there, transformed with, and it was certainly a hard row in terms of fundraising and getting the new building built. There happened to be a number of capital campaigns from nonprofits and others going on at the same time. And then we had the recession of 2009 and all of that mixed in there, but it all eventually came together. And I know it made a dramatic improvement to what the staff and the volunteers could do there. What was your reaction, and when in the process did you actually come up and look around the first time?
Well, you know, knowing what they had done, what they had accomplished there, I was just so impressed from what I had heard. It really is a huge accomplishment for a shelter to be able to make that kind of progress in such a short amount of time. Like I said, I've worked all across the United States in different shelters and around the world. And for them to be able to make that progress in such a short amount of time is really mind-blowing. But the first time I actually came and toured the shelter was for my interview.
And what did you think when you came in? You'd probably seen pictures already, but that doesn't always tell you the story.
You know what? I always laugh because the way I kind of judge a shelter right off the bat is how it smells. And Saving Grace smelled fantastic. I was so impressed. It was very clean and it smelled wonderful. So I was very optimistic at that point.
Now, you said you were interested in animal welfare for a long time. I mean, did that kind of start with having pets from being a kid? I mean, I know you said you didn't think being a veterinarian would work, but what was it?
Yeah, we actually only had cats at our house growing up and lots of small animals, hamsters and toads and frogs and all kinds of things. But my mom was that lady who picked up all of the strays, even if they maybe weren't exactly strays, and kept them in our garage for, you know, an undetermined amount of time until someone would come knocking on our door and saying, "Hey, I think you have my dog in your garage." So I think that's where I get my love of animals is really from my mom and her huge heart and taking in all of the strays and taking care of all the animals in our neighborhood.
Wow. Now, you know, as we said at the beginning, you really picked a very unusual week to begin. You walk in Tuesday morning just as everything was happening. What was your initial reaction as you began to get a sense of what was going on?
Yeah, it really kind of evolved really quickly. You know, my boyfriend had been staying in Glide, actually. So I was talking to him all morning and he was being evacuated. And then from there, my operations manager informed me that all of Douglas County was on an level one evacuation. And from there, we decided to start talking about what would we do if the shelter had to be evacuated. So the team all came together. We had a meeting. We started staging crates out back. We started contacting volunteers who could potentially transport for us. Basically, we got everything ready to go just in case. And that was definitely not what I thought the first day would look like. But walking out that first day, I knew that I was part of a really strong team who was able to pivot really quickly and respond to this disaster in a way that is pretty incredible.
So let me get this straight. You get up Tuesday, you go in, it's your first day. The place you've been staying in gets evacuated just hours later.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We're staying in an RV right now as we wait for our house to go through, because as I'm sure you know, the real estate market here is pretty hot and it's taking a little bit longer than we thought. So we're staying in an RV. So the only thing I can really be thankful for is that the property where we were staying is still there as far as I know, and that we were actually probably more ready than anyone else to be temporarily displaced because we are in the RV.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, there's a book there somewhere. That's an amazing, when you got home, wherever that ended up being that night, I mean, did you just look around and go, what have I done?
Yeah, so home is thankfully in Grandma and Grandpa's driveway here in Roseburg. They've been nice enough to take us in. And yeah, I think I still haven't quite had that moment where I've sat down and said, wait, what just happened?
Wow. Megan Graham, new executive director of Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center. Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. Back in a couple of minutes to interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 later this afternoon. CBS Audio's America Changed Forever special at 4. And keep your radio here throughout the weekend. We're still working on Monday's Inside Douglas County program, but obviously a lot of topics in the news right now. Megan Graham, new executive director of Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center, comes to Roseburg. We throw in a wildfire. You get evacuated, and you're then at day number 2 at work. Did that get any more normal?
No, I wouldn't say it got any more normal. We're still a little bit scared that, you know, if anything were to happen, that we'd have to evacuate the shelter. That's kind of been first and foremost in our minds. And then obviously we started getting evacuated pets coming in. So Tuesday was really the day that we started seeing a lot of people who had been evacuated on a level 3 bringing us their small animals.
Yeah, talk about that. Mm-hmm. And that's one element I hadn't really thought about. I know other folks in Glide personally that have been evacuated. They don't have to have animals. But, you know, people are staying in RVs or staying at friends' houses, stuff like that. There's not always a place for the animal.
Yeah. So thankfully, I mean, here in Douglas County, it does seem like a lot of people have RVs. They have the capability to take their animals with them. The fairgrounds has been taking all animals, including small animals and livestock. But there are certain situations where folks have not been able to take their cats or dogs or sugar gliders, as we found out when we got 4 sugar gliders in, I think, yesterday. We also have some bunnies, and we're going to be getting some chickens. So we have about, I know end of day yesterday, we had about 32 animals. I think when I left this morning, we had a little over 40. And we've got 23 chickens on the way, which pushes us right up to actually close to 70 because there's 7 cats coming with those 23 chickens.
And chickens are not normally at an animal shelter.
No, but thankfully we have space in the back of our shelter where we can house livestock and chickens.
I understand you have to keep the chickens and the cats separated.
Yes, that could be an issue.
Wow. So that, you know, that's an interesting element. What's people's reaction? I mean, have a lot of them called first? Have some people just come in and said, help?
Yeah, we've asked folks to call first if they can, and then to make sure that they bring a supply of food if they can, have identification on their pets, and to bring vaccination records, again, if possible. Most people have been able to call. We have had a few people just show up. Everyone's been super grateful, very understanding. Our team, like I said, has been, this is the first time we've done this, so we've had to create new protocols. We've created new paperwork and making sure, you know, that everything is all very well documented and that we get all the information from the owners so that we know how to contact them during this crisis.
And this is not a unique situation, as we've got over 500,000 acres between these 5 mega fires. So I'm sure there's similar facilities in Eugene and parts of Portland, Marion County, etc., that are dealing with the same situation.
Yeah, thankfully, I have quite a few contacts from my time as the director at Ben Spay Neuter Project here in Oregon. So I've been working with my colleagues, reaching out to make sure, A, that they're okay, and B, to try and collaborate on, you know, things like, what are you doing with evacuated pets, and how many do you have, and do you have needs? You know, basically, we're working together to make sure that everyone's taken care of and has what they need to provide this care for the community.
As some of the stories I've heard, sometimes you hear things on the police scanners, it's on all day, and then talking to some of our newspaper folks across the way, it's been hard for some folks in these rural areas to evacuate because of the animal situation. And of course, and that includes people that have animals that are not coming to the shelter, like cattle and things like that.
Yeah, I know that's been a really big issue north of here. And there's been some Facebook pages created where folks have really been just been immediately in that moment saying, you know, I need a trailer. And then someone steps up and says, I've got this. And it's all being connected via Facebook. It's been pretty incredible.
Wow. It's amazing. And as you look at, you know, maybe your first week, if it had gone differently, you know, you'd just be getting used to things, getting used to the symptoms, the systems, getting to know people, things like that. Have you had any time to kind of think about future plans, things that you would like to see the shelter do up the road?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time thinking about future plans prior to Tuesday. So I do have quite a few things written down. And, you know, I haven't really had a chance, though, to sit down with our board of directors even, because everything's just been so crazy. So, yeah, looking to the future, we, like I said, the team is already doing great work here. So we have a lot of opportunity to do some new programs and to adjust to the changes that we've seen through COVID and now the changes that we're going to be seeing from this wildfire. So we've got a lot of pivoting to do. And I think that we're ready, though. And I'm excited to get to know this community better and figure out what the needs are so that we can start creating programs that will meet the needs of the community.
Now, Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center, as most people know, is a nonprofit. You've got a board. What's their role in all of this? And what was that process like, being interviewed by a board, et cetera?
Yeah, thankfully, it wasn't the first time, and also I sit on a couple of boards, so I can see where they're coming from, and I kind of know that whole... I'm actually a certified board educator, so I can relate to where they're coming from. But their role in all of this is really, we've just been in communication, you know, making sure that everyone's safe, and first and foremost, that everyone's safe, and then, you know, just letting them know what's going on in the shelter and how we're preparing for a potential evacuation and what's happening with our evacuees. So we are... still taking in evacuees, and we are looking for volunteers, and we are looking for donations as well to keep us up and running.
And talk about your funding sources for Saving Grace.
Sure. So we have quite a few of our funding, quite a bit of our funding comes from adoption fees. And primarily, though, our funding comes from grants and fundraising events and donations, because our community is very generous, and we're really lucky to have a great group of folks who are donating monthly. We have people who have put us in their will and things like that. So, but we've missed out on a lot of fundraising events because of COVID. Now we're going to probably miss out on more fundraising events because of the wildfires. So we're going to be looking at doing some creative fundraisers this fall, and definitely need additional funds to help care for all these animals that are going to be coming into our doors.
Talk about what's available, what people can learn, and maybe even connect with helping financially via the website.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, all of our adoptable pets are on our website, which we have about a bazillion kittens right now. So if you're looking if you're looking to brighten your life, a ray of sunshine in this smoky haze could be a couple of kittens. We are open on Saturday from, I don't know. Check our website. Website at savinggrace.info to figure out when our operation hours are, and also to see all of our adoptable pets. We also have a donate button on our website, and we have a list of items that we always need on our website, but definitely need more now than ever.
And it's interesting, you bring up the fundraisers, a number of nonprofits in the community. I mean, everybody had to figure out how to do things differently, which has been the whole focus of the entire year, it appears, the way things have evolved. But it's been interesting to watch with some groups that I work with normally, because some of these fundraisers, you do these great events and you can bring in a sizable chunk of money. It's sometimes hard to just send out a letter and say, can you send us what you would probably send us if you came to the cool event that you don't get to come to?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's been hard on everybody. I know everywhere in the country, it's been really hard on everybody because, like you said, it is different to have a virtual event versus an in-person event. And everyone looks forward to the in-person event. And now everything has gone virtual. And we've had to figure out how to do virtual events, which has been a challenge. So that's what one of the things that Saving Grace will be looking at this fall is how we might be able to do some kind of a virtual event to take the place of our normal Pause for a Cause event, which takes place in August, which we obviously had to cancel this year. So, yeah, definitely looking at creative fundraising ideas for the fall, and still in need of the same amount of donations, and even more so now that we're taking in all these evacuees.
Before we run out of time here, just intimate, Douglas County Sheriff's Office, in conjunction with fire officials, are changing the evacuation levels for the Archie Creek Fire. The community of Glide is being moved from level 3 to level 2, with the exception of Little River Road, Bar L Road, Terrace and Upper Terrace Road, and Lone Rock Road. Those remain at level 3. The road closure in Glide has been moved to the Green Bridge. Idlewild Park community remains in the level 3. Sutherland evacuation levels have changed for Gassy Creek to the end of Nonpareil Road, and no new fire evacuations, but a bit of a change there. We'll get this up just as soon as we can at 541radio.com and update you on the situation, but looks like a bit of an improvement there is going to let some folks get back home potentially in the Glide area today. Megan Graham, new executive director of Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center. Well, hopefully your next week will be a little more normal.
Hey, it's all uphill from here, huh?
All right, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.